I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You seeing the signs, Hugh?
The signs. You saw the signs.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yeah, there's a lot of signs out there. I mean, the signs are pointing to me that the Eagles are not comfortable paying Jalen Carter. I make them wait. Hugh Douglas backing up the Brinks truck. No worries.
Pay that man. Mm.
There's also another sign that we saw yesterday. All right, so, Hugh, the Eagles made a signing yesterday to bolster their front on defense. A.J. Epenesa, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, signed a contract with the Eagles. And, you know, he's had a solid career. Maybe not quite as great as people thought, because he was I think he was second-round pick. And he was a pretty high pick in the NFL drafts. And he's had what I would call a solid career. He's got 24 career sacks. He's had three different years of six or more sacks. Like, he's a solid edge rusher. He's played for Buffalo's whole career, 14 games, 14, 15, 15, 17, 16. Solid player. He just played his age 27 season. I think it seems to me like a decent signing, good depth signing. But Hugh, doesn't it feel like if they're signing another defensive lineman that Brandon Graham's chances of being back are disappearing by the day?
Probably. You know, Brandon's a little older, man, and you know, he's been blessed to play, what, 15 years in the NFL? Yeah. That's phenomenal to be on one team for as long as Brandon's been on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm not saying the door is closed, but they're probably trying to not, you know, stress him out and try to get younger at that position. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like when you sign a player like Epenesa, 27 years old, he's had a little bit of traction in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what it looks like.
Well, you start adding together all the names they have. They have Grenard, they have Jalix Hunt, they have Nolan Smith, they have Ebiketie, they have Epenesa. They have the Tryon Chayanka guy they signed. I mean, that's a lot of edges. I mean, I find it hard to believe unless they have a rash of injuries, which that's kind of what happened last year. They had some injuries, right? And who's the guy? Zadarius Smith that just up and retired on them in the middle of the season?
Bounced.
That's how Brandon Graham got back here for last season. So, you know, I know there was some speculation, wonder if he was coming back, and then his contract expired last week or whatever, how the way the contract was set up. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to be back on the team this year. So, it's Hewitt, if that's it, it's kind of an unceremonious ending, because he had the ending, right? The Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but then we redid the ending as he came out of retirement last year, which was cool, and they needed some help. He had the 2.5 or 3 sack game against the Raiders, but it feels a little unceremonious if this is the real ending.
I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. Brandon has played and been able to play for 15 years in one spot. And he got one more year after the Super Bowl year.
But that felt like the end. The Super Bowl felt like the end.
It did, but I don't look at it as like, oh, well, he should have just left the Super Bowl year. He got one more year out of it.
No,
he got
one
more year of a crude season. See, I'm looking at it as an older guy who about to get his 401k in a couple months if he decides to take that. You know what I'm saying? And when I think about the
401k,
money,
Douglas, write that down for the bracket next year.
I'm just saying. Brandon, when I look at what Brandon did, Brandon got another year of going 2-for-1 on his 401k and in a 15-year season. So to me, no matter how you slice that piece of pie, he still left on his own terms and he still won. He's still a champion.
I don't know if he left on his own terms.
He did leave on his own terms.
I'm not sure.
He walked off the field on his own power.
Well, no, sure. No, but like,
and he still wanted to play. You know what defeated Brandon Graham in this all of this? Father Time.
Well, and
we know
everyone.
Father Time. Yeah, it's undefeated.
I mean, it kicked your butt. It kicked everybody's butt.
But it kicked my butt a whole lot earlier than it kicked his. And for that, I commend him for that. I mean, he left. Like, certain guys leave on their own terms. Everybody else get kicked out. Mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, me, John, Richie, and Ike got kicked out the league. We got kicked out. We got booted. Get out. Get your ass up out of here.
They kicked you right to WIP. Get out of WIP.
Brian Dawkins left on his own power. Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. That's how you want to lead the game, but we don't get to do that. So for Brandon to be sitting at home and somebody call you and say, hey, you want to play football? and he can still play. And he went out there, and you know, he wasn't the guy he was, but he could still go out there and run with them young cats.
Give him some snaps, yeah.
Man, I commend him for that. So that's a win.
And if he feels that way, that's good for – I guess the way I – from his perspective, he's happy, cool. I mean, he's a great Eagle. I guess from a fan perspective, it was the perfect ending, and then last year was not.
It was.
Like,
it was.
Super Bowl, and then he had the speech, and then we did BG Day. Like, it was all
yeah,
like –
but think about it like this, too,
and then last year's like, did that really even happen?
But think about it like this, too, though. From the stories that Brandon has kind of shared with me, they called him. Like, he wanted to play. He kept himself in shape. And they called him. And he answered the call. Mm-hmm. So they needed him in a sense. They need him. I think that this year they probably won't call, you know, because they got the young cats in there. And they'll work with them. But that's probably not going to stop Brandon from working out. Probably going to still work out and stay in shape. And if he gets a 16 season, that would be – I'd be like, damn, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And no matter how it goes – if they call the phone and say, "Hey, we want you to come, you know, be a mentor, get a couple snaps or whatever," completely. Oh, I think that's a win for him. I really, really do.
Is your phone line still open if they call?
Hell no.
Just wondering.
Man, listen, when I sat out there when we were out there playing in that game where I got struck out at
the softball game,
and I was sitting out there, right, mm-hmm. and you know I keep myself in pretty good shape, but being out there with them. It just the reality of how far I am from what I used to be and what they are was very, very humbling. It really was. And it was one of those things where I was happy to be a part of it, but I also knew I'm like, damn, even BG, like from me to him is light years away. Mm. You know, and it was pretty cool to be out there. But the reality is what those cats do on a Sunday, everybody's not built to do that. Like, and it's just being there with those, like, looking at Jalix Hunt. Who else was out there? There's a bunch of defensive linemen. Who's the one from, I can't think of his name right now. He played for the Commodores, then played with the Saints. Played Ohio State.
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Just being out there on the field with them, man, I'm like, good googly. These are some big-ass kids. Mm-hmm. Some big grown-ass men that are out there every Sunday putting in work. And then you look at BG's, me and BG built about the same, and I'm like, he's still doing it 15 years in. Very, very humbling. Very, very humbling. So for him to go, if he got a call and he went to go play, I commend him for that. Even no matter what it looks like, somebody called you and thought highly enough about you that they let you be on the roster.
But it does feel like, and my gut is that the Eagles are moving in a different direction.
Probably. More than likely.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this season. And if he doesn't play for the Eagles, I don't think he's going to play again. Just quickly, though, after you told that story, I think we got a podcast title for this segment of the show. Hugh Douglas, I'm not the man I used to be.
I'm not the man I used to be.
And that's okay.
I mean, we all are. You know, and it's another song that I think about. It's a song by Rick Ross where he say, "I might not be bigger than Biggie, but I'm bigger than you."
That's your favorite. You've said that one before. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. You know what? I'm curious where people come down on the Jalen Carter thing. Should the Eagles just extend Jalen Carter?
78% yes.
62% no.
Is that right?
Yes.
Interesting.
You got cooked on that one a little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit.
You were very confident you were on the right side.
But boy, yesterday I had a
boom.
Day.
Boom!
Yesterday I had a day. I was all over them polls.
The only thing you did yesterday was further your agenda that Andy Dalton could take over for Hurts.
No, that's
your agenda. Nobody else is here on WIP. All right, can we hear from Nick Sirianni yesterday when presented with so Jalen Carter at practice for the mandatory stuff. He was not at a lot of the voluntary stuff or really any of it this offseason, but he was there the last 2 days, but only doing individual work, not teamwork. Why? Here's Sirianni when asked that question yesterday.
Jalen Carter not taking part in team drills, is that injury related, contract related,
anything else? I don't have to get into. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into all those different things. You know, right now, I've been able to work some individual scenarios. You know, in individual practices, and that's where everybody's in a little bit different boat right now of you know where they are in the off season, and that's where Jalen is right now.
Yeah, my rule is when you say I'm sorry in the middle of an answer about a potentially controversial subject.
You already know what it is.
Yeah, the antenna's up. Like, we have a contract situation in our hands.
And for individuals, I'm about to be petty for like 2 seconds. And for individuals that don't think that there is something there, then you're probably stupid.
Oh, you're dense. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's not much going on in your head if you don't think there's something happening here. I mean, come on, wake up. 215-592-9494. Scott in Abington is up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's good, up, Scott?
The Jalen Carter thing is a math problem, not a talent problem, mm-hmm. or an attitude problem. You know, so you have the front seven, and you have the defensive back, you know, the backs. If you look at historically good defenses, it was either the front seven making it, putting a lot of pressure on a quarterback so that you can have slightly weaker defensive backs, or you have locked down defensive backs that make it easier for mediocre front seven guys to get the job done. So when you take the math in this whole thing, if you can lock up the backfield or the defensive backs, that gives you more money to spread around a higher quantity of positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is going on here. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Eagles get off to a shaky start, because I think we all kind of expect it. And they could literally trade Carter at the deadline this year and develop resources for following years, knowing that if it's also shaky throughout the year, we've probably seen the last season of Jalen Hurts, which means inexpensive quarterback next year and more resources to put into the defensive front seven. Yeah. So I think when you have, DeGene is great because, you know, he can tackle and he covers well. You got Quinlan who can, you know, really, really cover. He doesn't jump routes, though, mm-hmm. so he doesn't get a lot of interceptions, but he covers really, really well.
Greenland and Quinlan.
You know, if Makuba does well, if they have Epps is back, if he does the job, you know, well enough so that they're putting pressure on the quarterback by having to hold the ball longer, then a more mediocre front seven can actually get the job done.
I agree with you. Scott, I think you framed it well, and it's a good phone call. You know, I think the Eagles are dealing with more of a math problem than they are a talent problem. The question, and you started when we started the show today, it's not about Jalen Carter's talent. It's been obvious to anyone with eyes since Georgia to the NFL, he has talent.
Yeah.
But Scott went down a path there. It really got me thinking about this money thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, so I have two thoughts as Scott said that. Number one, can they afford all these defensive players as time goes on? The second thing is, you know what's happening?
What's happening?
The Eagles are taking a direct shot at Hugh Douglas.
Is that right?
Well, what did
somebody's defensive luxury, not a necessity?
So right now, we have Jordan Davis at $26 million a year, Grenard at $25 million a year, Bond at $17 million. Over the next year, if we keep all these guys, it's going to be Carter at $32 million. It's going to be Quinion somewhere around $30 million. What do we think Cooper's going to get, 20?
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
Okay. I mean, that would be a direct shot at Hugh Douglas from the Eagles.
But guess what?
What?
It's not now.
What do you mean?
Because most of the money, like I've been saying for years,
hold on,
with that historic take that I had, that's on ChatGPT.
Historically ridiculous and awful.
Defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
But the Eagles are telling you.
Most of the money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball.
That's about to change in a significant way.
AJ, when he got rid of him, that took a little bit of a hit, mm-hmm. you know, to save some money. But yeah.
Traded the money
still,
away.
Hey, that take still is hot. That's a hot take.
No, it's not. It's a cold. It's a cold.
Hot take.
It's ice cold.
Lives rent-free in your head.
Well, it's in your head because you're defending it.
No, I'm not.
You are defending it before the Eagles even do a thing.
I ain't got to defend it.
You do.
I ain't got to defend it because it stood the test of time. And it's still standing the test of time. Who just got paid yesterday? It was off an injury-riddled season.
Who's that?
Patrick Mahomes got paid.
He's the best quarterback
still,
of the generation.
Still, he got hurt. He got hurt. And we sit up here arguing about somebody's attitude. We don't want to give him no money.
Who?
Defensive player. Jordan Davis.
You want to pay him.
I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to spend all this money the next couple
years. I'm just saying. Patrick Mahomes coming off knee injury.
Using Mahomes got in two this of them is thing. Ridiculous.
He got extension. Got what? He got 60 mil?
64 million.
Hey.
He's the best quarterback of the generation.
I'm just saying. Yeah, okay. Hey. This guy, what I'm about to quote some air and say, the Sky Marshal?
Enough.
Well, he's the Sky. If there's a Sky Marshal in the league,
you know
it's Mahomes.
The Sky Marshal about to get paid.
Wait,
you know what?
No, hold on a second. Where's all this money coming from in the salary cap league?
Hey,
pay him and pay him and pay him.
Howie season.
No.
You don't even believe in Howie.
No, first of all, don't be screaming Howie season.
Howie hater.
When it's time to break bread, like screaming Howie season in. I got that confused. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jamal was kind of right. I'm all over the place.
Enough to sustain you.
Don't do that. That was uncalled for. But yeah, got paid, was hurt. He's sitting at home still trying to get right for the season. They gave him a check. 60
As million. They should. He's the best quarterback of a generation. They're not going to pay Patrick Mahomes.
And we arguing about Jalen Carter getting his bread.
Well, when Jalen Carter's in the same league as Patrick Mahomes, then maybe we
will. He put hands on him.
That didn't win an argument. What's the hot? Can they afford everybody?
No.
Okay.
No, they can't.
Well, then what did you think of Scott's assertion that they could trade Carter at the deadline?
During the season?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
I don't think so. Why would you trade if he's playing well? If defense is going to be our strength, it's going to be our bread and butter, it's going to be our backbone this year. Because we've all conceded the fact that the offense might struggle. Mm-hmm. And Scott said we might get off to a slow start, right?
Yeah.
Why are we trading away a big cog in the wheel of our defense, and our defense is probably going to be the tip of the spear?
Well, I'm just getting into Scott's head. He said, I guess the theory would be if you're not going to pay him, you trade him.
Well, I mean, if he's playing well, I don't think it would be smart to trade him.
Well, I'll say this. Every day that they don't pay him, the idea that he's not actually here eventually is more of a reality, right? That doesn't mean if they don't give him a contract this summer, he's off the team a year from now. But every day, yeah. I mean, guys, there's something going on with this Jalen Carter thing that has been brewing for a year. I was first, my mind first went to this when the Micah Parsons rumors started. What was that last summer, right?
Yeah.
We found out they tried to trade for Micah Parsons because we started to workshop, like, hold on, can they really afford Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter? And then didn't Parsons on one of his dumb streams or podcasts say that they were going to trade Jalen Carter for him? Remember that whole thing, Kyle, last summer?
I do remember something vaguely like that.
I think Parsons said that. And we didn't want to believe him because he's a goofy. But, like, you know, it's maybe he was right.
He said he's a goofy.
Well, then the Garrett thing. I mean, there is something going on here.
So you think they want to move on? They want to move on. They don't want to pay him. They want to move on from him.
Or they don't trust him. I mean, if they were interested in Micah Parsons, obviously that would have come with a contract. If they're interested in Myles Garrett, that would have come with a contract. Can you pay two players on your defensive line $35 million a season? Probably can't, and have an expensive quarterback. There's something brewing here with the Eagles that it just feels like it's all intertwined with the money. And I got you over here just giving out money willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Left and right. You know, maybe this actually does, deep down, play to the Andy Dalton thing. If you go to Andy Dalton at quarterback, you have a cheaper quarterback, and then you can pay everyone. Now, is that what you're angling at?
I'm just thinking more so it might be Andy if this offense is not being ran the way that they wanted to be ran. That's what I was thinking. It's not so much that trying to say Jalen's not going to do this or that. Because like I said before I started that conversation, I said I think Jalen's going to thrive in this offense because he's attacking.
But
if he does it, then Andy Dalton is a contingency. Yes, he is. That's why he's here. That's why he's getting all the reps. I stand on that.
He's splitting reps with McKee as the two. I'm like,
he's not. He's getting as many reps or almost as many reps as the number one quarterback.
I just can't buy that Andy Dalton would play a meaningful game for the Eagles until December.
I hope that's not the case.
I can't, even in a world where Jalen plays poorly, I can't see a world where they go to Andy Dalton. It just feels like zero upside to me. But listen, you're the Red Rifle guy on the show, so we're gonna let you have this one.
Red Rifle guy
on the station, really.
I am the Red Rifle guy on the show. It's crazy.
I wonder if anyone joins you in this pursuit, or this is a season-long thing that only you will believe.
If Jalen doesn't play well, who's going to be the start? Who you going to put out there?
I don't think they would do. I think they would just let Jalen flail until December.
I kind of agree.
If the season is shot, yes. But if they feel like, say, if the season starts, and
give me a week. season starts, Jalen's struggling. What week is it where this becomes a reasonable thing?
Well, how egregious is, like, in my mind, if Andy Dalton is the quarterback, that means that Jalen has no concepts of how this offense is going to be ran. That's the extreme case.
Okay, but like, when do you think they would pull a plug on that kind of thing?
I would say if it was going to happen, if that was the extreme case, listen to what I'm saying. Okay. The extreme case.
We're all listening.
Probably about a month.
A month,
Joe. If he's not, say conceptually.
Yeah, no, I understand your point.
You know what I'm saying? If he's not running the offense and he's not seeing it the way that he needs to see it, then yeah, a month. Because you're still, say, if you're in a position where.
So when we go to London, we're going to watch Dalton play.
Y'all going to let me finish workshopping this?
Nah.
Because I'm trying to tell you the extreme scenario in this. If he's not playing well and they still feel like they're in a Super Bowl window and that's the biggest hindrance to them having success, then yes.
But you can't win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton.
Won a Super Bowl with, what's his, Sam Darnold?
But Sam Darnold's 28 and Andy Dalton's 30.
No, but what I'm saying is, he was a guy who was considered a bust at one point.
I know.
Andy Dalton's like 50.
Stop.
No.
Did Joe Flacco win a playoff game a couple years ago for Cleveland?
He lost. They made it, though.
A playoff game, Hugh?
He lost.
Did he help turn the season around for Cleveland?
Yes, let's be honest.
Yes. That's a fair point. Yes, he did.
Let's be completely honest. If Jalen can't pick up the offense, the season shot.
Yeah, I agree.
It's that simple. Whether you put in Dalton, McKee, Red Star, no one's saving this season.
That's not what I'm arguing. I'm saying if he can't pick it up and they feel like they can salvage the season.
No, I don't see those two worlds happening at the same time.
Why not?
If the quarterback can't pick up the offense, the season's done.
So in your world, why is he getting as many reps as the quarterback's getting?
Who?
Why is Andy Dalton getting as many reps as the starting quarterback?
Well, Q, there's scenarios between Jalen going down for the season and not picking up the offense.
Okay,
what if he needs to step in for one game?
How many reps did Tanner McKee get in OTAs? You can't answer that. You can't answer that question.
Can you?
Only one that can answer that is ESPN.
I can
answer you this. He didn't get as many as the quarterback. He didn't get as many reps as a quarterback that we had to talk about it. This has been talked about this year.
Why would any backup quarterback get reps? It's because in case they need to step in for a game.
You know why the backup quarterback getting reps? Because they're trying to get both of them up to speed to see who's running offense better. That's usually what happens.
Maybe. I'm just saying, if we're in a world where Jalen can't pick up the offense, there's no, how can we salvage the season with the backup quarterback? It's not happening.
I actually think, and this might surprise you, I think they owe it to Jalen and themselves to give him till December. Because to me, if Jalen struggled the first month really bad, and that's possible, and we go to the point that Hugh's making that another quarterback would come in, it's over. That they've only given Jalen 4 or 5 weeks to decide if he's the future quarterback. If he's benched, it's over. So I think he, and they owe it to themselves to figure out if Jalen could do this. I think you got to give him till December. You know, like that's where I come down on it. Because once you go away from him, it's over. They he will not be their quarterback in 27. They'll need a new quarterback. And that might be the case anyway. But at least I think you got to give him 12 to 13 games to show you he can or can't.
Like I said, in this scenario, this was extreme cases.
I know.
And in this scenario, if you feel like you still are in your Super Bowl window and that's the position that's hindering you from being that.
I get it.
That's why you do that.
I hearken back to 2020 on this. 215-592-9494. For 2020, Carson Wentz played as bad as you could possibly play. I mean, it's kind of the extreme you're talking about. It made you want to vomit watching quarterback play. And they let him play. They let him play till December because I think they knew the same thing. Like, if we pull the plug, it's over. The era's over. The player's over. We got to figure out the next thing. And they waited. I mean, I remember watching the month of November where it was like, you could pull a player out of college and you might get better quarterback play than this. It was that bad. And they let him play. I don't think anything happens till December. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this. Jalen Carter, would you pay him now? The Knicks come back last night. Kyle's mad at my assertion that if this Knicks team played for the Sixers and they wore our uniform, they'd be the most popular Philadelphia team ever. That, like, they play the way we want them to play. Your take on Hurts as well, after he talked yesterday, and Hugh's assertion here, as we label him fairly, the Red Rifle guy at WIP. And we got to get to the Phillies game last night. Good win, but a little concern afterwards with an injury. That's all next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.